The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Alright, welcome into the Lotus Place Radio. This is Scotty Reed. Y'all know I'm not the host. I'm the engineer. Most of the programs you hear on Black Talk Radio Network, I do believe Sister Black Rose, the host of Lotus Place, is still out of town, and so it presents some challenges, but I do see her logged in to the switchboard. If you can hear me, Sister Black Rose, if you can unmute yourself or I'm not sure who's hosting the program. If the person who's hosting the program is on the line, hit *6 and 1 so you can be unmuted, because I'm seeing numbers on the line, but I don't know who's who. So I guess we'll give it more time. You know, as soon as y'all ready to get started, I'll go ahead and kick some more some music until we get that straightened out. Listening to the Lotus Place Radio. Right here on Black Talk Radio Network.
Hey you, what? Get up out the seat. I got a soul for treat with the disco beat. For the young and old, the lack of gold to be.
Area code 281, who do we have on the line?
Hello, Scotty, this is Ajazola. How are you?
I'm not going to complain too much. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and let y'all take it over.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Scotty. Hey, Aja.
Hello, hello, namaste.
Namaste.
How are you?
I was having some phone difficulties. I couldn't hear anything.
Okay.
All yes. Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight here at the Lotus Place. Let me just give out the phone number just in case anyone wants to call in and share some thoughts or comments. Tonight is What's on Your Mind line, talking about all things happening in the world, in your community, good and bad. We like to hear the good, though. I'm so tired of hearing the bad news.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, so call in and share some good news with us. 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound, and you can press *61 if you'd like to share a comment. So call in and tell us what is on your mind for tonight. Delta's going to call in around the second half of the hour and bring us some hot topics. But in the meantime, Zola, you have a mind, body, and spirit with us for?
Yes, I do. I have a mind, body, and spirit. And we're going to go with the love the body of the mind, body, and spirit tonight. Love the body. We sometimes touch on the mind and sometimes touch on the consciousness, and we have little tidbits about melanin and me. So tonight we're going to talk about loving the body. So the title of the piece tonight is Get Ready, That's My Car. You remember that? Anybody who's over 45 got to be smiling right now. That's my car. You know where I'm going. Back in the day, in the 50s and 60s, before video games, we used to sit outside and watch cars go by, and if a nice car rolled by, we'd try to be the first one to say, "That's my car." And if an old beat-up car would go by, we'd quickly say, "That's your car." And that was fun. For hours, we'd entertain ourselves, you know, with this game, just using our imagination. You know, sitting outside, getting that good old Prada, that good old sunshine. And so I would like for us tonight to just fantasize for a moment like children, okay? Walk with me. What if you wanted very much to visit this place far, far away, and you could take with you or have ready for you when you got there whatever vehicle you chose, never mind the cost, whatever your heart desired, and you'd be given the means for its upkeep, of course. You'd probably choose, you know, some kind of high-performance car, you know, like a Ferrari, a Maserati, top-of-the-line Benz, Lamborghini, Rolls-Royce, you name it, whatever you like. Whatever you like. Love the song. You can turn the keys over and be chauffeured around if you like. Or at any given time, you can take back the keys and drive yourself around. Should you choose a high-performance car, you naturally require special fluids, special gas, and high-performance this, high-performance that, you know, just go along with your car. It's a high-performance car. Keep it running in tip-top shape, you know. You wouldn't put the regular gas in there. Plus, you'd want to keep it nice and clean, preferably a hand wash. You've got one of those luxury cars, and it goes without saying. So it's got to look good. You got to put it on the road, too, because you don't want to keep it all locked up in the garage, all covered up. Now, what if, after you've been in this place for a while, you start to get used to your car? It's still a nice ride, but you start using low-grade engine oil, low-grade fuel, because you start spending your, quote-unquote, vehicle funds on other things to cut costs. You miss some of your regular washing for one reason or another. It was going to rain, weather was bad, blah, blah, blah. So, you know how it is. Plus, you started seeing other vehicles that you like more. And you wish you'd gotten one of them instead. And maybe you didn't realize all the upkeep that came with this particular vehicle. And as a result, it started to lose its original appeal. Because you stopped doing the preventive maintenance. You lost a little book that came with the vehicle. They recorded all your checkups, and you started out so well. And so you stopped really talking to your vehicle like you used to do when you first got it. You started taking it for granted. You were even careless a couple of times and had a little accident. And you let somebody else use your vehicle. They brought it back all banged up. Used lower grade fuel to put in it. So you even wish you had chosen another color, because that color seemed to attract a lot of dirt and grime much more readily than the other colors that you could have chosen. Even though it was a very classic color, mind you, it stood out whenever there was bad weather. But you stuck with it. You simply forgot everything you had considered when you selected this particular vehicle. You let your so-called friends drive it, as I said, and they didn't really see the true value of your prized vehicle. And so, at times, you just use your vehicle to get from point A to point B, and you forgot to put it on the road to blow it out. Eventually, it began to wear down. It started to sputter, stall at the most inconvenient times, and needed constant, expensive upkeep. Sometimes, that vehicle wouldn't start at all. But trading it in was against the rules. You, like everyone else, was only given one choice. It was in perfect condition when you got it. No trading allowed. Keep it or walk everywhere you had to go. And that, my friends, was out of the question. Your body is your vehicle. Earth is where you wanted to visit. You chose your vehicle's make, design, and color, which is your nationality, based on what you had studied and observed where you were. there are guidelines to follow to keep your vehicle, your body, looking good and performing its best. Exercise, proper nutrition, sunlight. When you consume lower vibrational energy, be it via food, thoughts, music, other people's negative energy, whatever, it affects the performance, longevity, and appearance of your vehicle, your body. It's all up to you. But remember, you can't have another one while you're here. That's against the rules. So, how's your vehicle doing? How's your upkeep? Love your body. It's the only one you got and the only one you're going to get. And that, my Lotus Place family, is for real. Your mind is your servant. Your body is your vehicle. And your soul is your residence. Namaste.
Namaste.
Did you like it? Did you get it?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yes.
Take care of our bodies.
Yes. Yes. This is the one that you asked for. You asked for that body. It was in perfect condition at first. You know, when you're a baby, how you would eat something and immediately poop. It would go straight through your system and come right on out. Now that food stays in there for days, sometimes for weeks if you're still eating beef. Because you've messed up your system.
Mm-hmm.
You started putting out low performance.
Do it all day, every day.
Yes, yes. Processed foods, overcooked foods, not getting your nutrition, not getting sunlight. Sunlight is so important. And we forget that as we get older, we get so accustomed to being inside, you know, on the computer, just doing inside things. We don't spend enough time outside. And sunlight is so crucial to our health. We'll get into that when we talk about melanin and me. But sunlight is so crucial to our health, to our nutrition. And
I was just going to ask, what are some things that people can do in order to take in more vitamin D from the sun?
Well, one thing that we do when we're, say for instance, when you're riding in the car, when you're driving, actually driving, and it's a nice day and there's sunlight out, let your window down so that the you can feel the full benefits of the sun not being blocked from your window. Because the types of glass that we use, it's to block a lot of the sun's rays that are really nutritious for us, because the people who make these glasses, they have to protect themselves, people of lower melanin, because they can't deal with as much sun as we can because they don't have as much melanin, so they can't receive the same protection. So most things are built around what they can handle. So let your window down, and now when I walk, normally I when the sun is out, I grab my sunglasses, you know, and I head out looking all cute and everything. But now I leave my sunglasses off so the sun can actually get into my eyes. I don't, as people more melanin than anyone else, melanin dominant people, we really don't need the sunglasses. It's just more of a fad. It's fashion. You know, you look cute. They got so many different attractive styles and everything. But if you're not trying to be stylish and you really want to get your nutrition, then leave the glasses off. And that's what I've been doing, because another way that you can strengthen your eyes is to just sit out and do some sunning. So you don't look directly up at the sun, of course, but you look in the direction of the sun, and then it's coming down on your eyelids, and it's going through your eyelashes. That's how we get our nutrition. We get it through our eyes, you know. And the eyes is extremely important. And again, the sun, everything has to have sunlight. If there were no sunlight, nothing would live. Plants, animals, everything. And it includes us. So sunning is good just when you want to go to the park and just want to sit facing the sun instead of your back to the sun. This is for melon dominant people. I need to say that because we're the ones who need this. Sit facing the sun so that the sun can come directly on you. Okay? Then it's going directly through your eye socket. And that's where it needs to go. Your eye sockets are connected to your hypothalamus. And that's through that, your endocrine system and your nervous system, they run off of that, the hypothalamus. So it's really, yes, thank you. I get that word mixed up. Okay, so it's really important that you allow the sun to come in through your body, to your body, through your eyes. Walking, I mean, just, you don't have to run. Some people love to run. But you don't have to run. Just walk. You can do if you're trying to do it for exercise, do a brisk walk. But if you're just casually walking, like I do sometimes, just walking, you know, a couple 4 miles to the store, whatever you, leave your sunglasses off and let the sun hit your face, you know. Don't worry about tanning or anything like that. The sun is our friend, and it's for our nutrition, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I think that it's like it was like that little generation of grandmothers that used to tell grandmothers and parents that used to tell the children, don't go outside, you're gonna get too black. You know, that little generation or time period of thinking. It just really, really, disconnected us from culture.
Yeah, it did. Okay. Now, yeah. although I was, we didn't have a choice when we were coming up. Although they did, you know, tease me because I was dark. They did tease me, but it wasn't as if you had a choice. You didn't go running in the house talking about, I don't want to get dark. You just kept your butt out there, you know. In the daytime, the weather's nice. The children are outside playing. It's where they're supposed to be. But, yeah, I do recall, I mean, we just been brainwashed so, I mean, so deeply. And like you say, I mean, when grandma says it, you know, you're supposed to do it, you know, because grandma knows, you know. But wow, yeah.
Yeah, grandma said, don't be out there getting all black. Yeah, well, let me see. I want to just share this little tidbit. And this is regarding the Flint water crisis.
Sister Black Rose, if you could speak up a little bit, because your volume's coming in low.
Oh, okay. What about this?
That's better.
How about this? Is this better? Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm just staying on this Flint water crisis.
Yes, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just staying on this. And you know, I noticed how, not trying to brag on the Lotus Place Radio.
Go ahead, toot your horn.
I will say this, toot our horn. I will say this, before the other news stations started making this like national news and talking about it, we were talking about this Flint water crisis right here at the Lotus Place. Weeks before.
Yep. Yep.
MSNBC and CNN wanted to even touch the story.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I didn't see it on Facebook either.
People really didn't want to touch the story. They weren't paying attention to it because, oh, it was just some poor little black folks in Flint. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Wet, getting lead poisoning and drinking poop water and bathing in poop water. Who cares?
Mm.
No, you know, nobody cares. So, on today, the Black Knicks, Darnell Early, who's the emergency manager in Detroit, who came in as an emergency manager in Flint, even though he tries to disconnect himself from the whole Flint water crisis.
He was there. He was there when the switch was made.
Yeah, he was there. That's right. He signed off on the final papers to switch. So, do y'all know that this man, you know, they had the Flint water crisis oversight hearing today. This man is so arrogant that he just said, I'm not coming to get y'all. He just didn't show up. He's like,
he didn't
even
show up?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Mm-mm. He's like, I don't have to answer any questions. You know, but the sad thing about it, even though he's resigning, he's submitted his resignation letter, and he is to resign from being the emergency manager in Detroit, Michigan, February the 29th. It's sad because I really think that he would just be picked up, absorbed by another city to be an emergency manager, swindle the money, leave the city in worse shape and in more deficit than what it was before he became emergency manager, which is the purpose of the emergency manager is really to stabilize the finances and turn the city back around to the black. But this man and these emergency managers are forced on people. There's a suspension of democracy. These people don't have any rights, even when they vote against these emergency managers. Excuse me, just one second. Even when they vote against these emergency managers, these people are still in office. They still have all of this power, and it makes absolutely no sense at all. So he will probably go over to another city.
Yeah.
And do the same exact thing because he just came from, he came from Flint. Before Flint, he was in Saginaw. So they give them like a year to a year and a half. So they're not expected to hold these positions 10, 15, 20 years, anything like that.
Oh, no.
So if he's not indicted and charged and forced to serve time, he'll be absorbed by another city.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. But he does not need to be scapegoated and go down by himself because he is not the only one that was involved in this. He's not the only one that needs...
The governor needs to have to say something.
The governor should be held accountable also.
Yes.
He should be held accountable. Kim, even though his little chief of staff, I think his name was Musgrove, even though Musgrove did try to come out and say something, and then you see he went ahead on and got out of there really quickly and resigned before it hit the fan. But these people, they knew what was going on. They knew that the people of Flint were drinking lead water for years, lead and poop water for years, water with E. coli. So, let's see. Let me just read a little bit of this. The Flint water crisis is a failure at every level of government, Environmental Protection Agency, EPA Region 5, was aware of dangerously high levels of lead in Flint drinking water in April 2015, yet failed to act until January 2016. when they were forced to intervene. Mm. EPA has an obligation to act under the Safe Drinking Water Act, SDWA. If the state is not in compliance with national standards of oversight and enforcement of public water systems, Dale Toro's June 2015 memo unmistakably triggered the EPA's obligation to act and assert control over the crisis. Instead, then Region 5 Administrator Susan Hetman downplayed and dismissed the memo to Flint's mayor and Flint residents. Okay, so then Susan Hetman, she's a culprit. Flint resident and mother Leanne Walters testified that Susan Hetman cared more about policy than the welfare of an entire community, while punishing and silencing the one person that was willing to help us. EPA refused an October 2015 emergency petition pleading with the agency to take all actions necessary to abate the endangerment presented by lead and Flint
Sister Rose,
drinking water.
Are we talking about the federal EPA or the state EPA in that sentence you just read?
I believe this was just state. This was state EPA, if I'm not mistaken.
Because if they, I mean, only the federal EPA can hold people accountable to federal standards. I mean, the states, they're supposed to be working off of the federal law because that's the law of the land. So I'm just trying to understand if any complaints were ever kicked up to the federal EPA. Because it seems to me if I wasn't getting the right answers or the right response from the state, if I'm a whistleblower, I'm going to also report it to the EPA, the federal EPA.
Okay. It doesn't actually distinguish here. I'm going to listen, though, to some of the hearings, but it's like 6 hours long on YouTube. The hearings from today, and maybe they may bring a little more illumination to whether it's a state or federal EPA. But if I'm not mistaken, it seems like when I first started hearing about this Susan person and the EPA, it was all state. That's why what they say is, this is why Obama and the federal government could not get involved, because it had not been declared like a state emergency so that they could request for federal funding, and everything was still at a local level for so long, up until like just a couple of weeks ago. So I'm just thinking that it was still at a state level, but we could do a little more research into that. Let me see. So I'll just kind of breeze through a little bit of this background, because we've talked about this many times, and I know people have heard it over and over on the news. But just to go over it again, because this is historic.
It sure
people
is.
People need to understand this. Yeah, this is insane. I can't even believe that they allowed this, and then this governor stands up in front of a microphone and acts as if, oh yeah, this is horrible. Oh yeah, we need to do something about it. Oh, we're gonna help these people. Oh, Obama, give us some money so we can help these poor black people that we poison and allow.
Right.
E. coli water. You know, I mean, how is he not arrested and in jail?
Right.
Now?
Yes.
I understand this. Him, whoever this Susan person is, all of these people. It's ridiculous. But now there are people, I must say, there are people that are pushing for all of them to be indicted. So I just say, don't give up the fight. Don't give up the fight. Okay, let me read a little bit of this. after we come back from our break, let's just take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll also come back with Delta Cougars Hot Topics. So stay tuned.
Here's a quote for your break.
Let's take the break first, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and so Zola, you have a quote for us?
Yes. Be careful of mind editing, replaying past situations, reprimanding yourself, or thinking what you should have said or done. When the past calls, don't answer. It has nothing new to say.
It sure doesn't.
Not a damn thing new.
It doesn't have anything to say, anything. Let me just thank you for sharing that. Let me just read this background quickly, and then we'll bring Delta in for some hot topics. Hot topics!
Okay.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, Delta Cooper.
Yeah. I'm just running through this quick little background, and then we want to hear your hot topics, because I know you have some hot, juicy ones. So, prior to April 24th, the city of Flint, Michigan received its drinking water from the city of Detroit system. The city of Detroit, by the way, from what I've learned since being here, Detroit has some of the best drinking water in the world because of these lakes up here. I mean, they say the best in the world.
Wow.
Okay. Not just in this area, but in the world. And in fact, the people in Detroit say that at one time their water was so clean that they were told if there was ever an emergency, that as long as you kept your toilet bowl clean daily, you could drink the water out of your toilet.
Wow.
Well, that's what they say. Wow. Now, I drink water out the toilet, but I mean, you know, whatever you
That's just showing how clean it is.
Yeah. And so, okay, in the month following the switch, the Flint River water began testing highs in chloride levels, which caused it to be highly corrosive. One serious effect of corrosion is that it causes water pipes made of lead to leach into the system. Furthermore, the water tested positive for disease-carrying bacteria. Reports indicated that the EPA, which has oversight over state and local systems under the Safe Drinking Water Act, had known about contamination as early as June of 2015, detailed in an internal EPA memo. They knew before then. EPA Region 5 Administrator Susan Hedman announced her resignation effective February 1st, 2016. So that's all they do is they resign. Just like these police officers, they can resign or whatever and just be
after the deed has been done.
After you've done what you were hired to do, kill, destroy, dominate, cause destruction. Anyway, so she resigned this week. Yeah. She'll get a raise and be working somewhere else, making an extra $50,000 to $75,000 more. Just like Darnell Early. He moved from Saginaw to Flint to Detroit each time he was given a pay increase after destroying the city.
Wow.
So, yeah. All right, so we'll pick back on that. Pick back up on the Flint water crisis. Let's hear some hot topics from Delta. What do you have for us, Delta?
Oh, hi, everyone. Doing? I have some great hot topics tonight. Very great hot topic.
I want to send out condolences. I'm sorry to you and your family because we know that you lost your mother.
Yeah, deepest sympathy for you.
Yeah, the greatest woman to me in the whole wide world, and I know everyone else think that about their mother, and there's nothing wrong with thinking that about your mother. Mm-hmm. Everybody think they have the best mother in the whole wide world. At least some people do.
Yeah.
You know, my mother, she was born August 19, 1928, and she was the mother of 28 kids.
Wow.
And out of the 28, she had 10 girls to live and 8 boys to live. And now she has 14 living out of her 18. And she loved to brag about the ones that was all from the same man.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful.
So my shout out to her. So let's get right on into it. Now we going to Washington, D.C. Okay, y'all heard of a sports bar called Red Line. It's like where you go in and it's a sports bar for like people who like sports. And this black girl applied for the job, and she got hired without them even seeing her. She got hired on her credentials, you know, just her paperwork and her interview over the phone. When she came in, the owner of the club, which is a white man, said he wanted a upscale bar. And he didn't want no black people there. He wanted all white people. He didn't even want black patrons.
Wow.
And he admitted it. He said it out to his employees. And the young lady walked up to him as she came in to meet the, for her new job. She walked up to the boss and he turned and would not shake her hand. Immediately, the boss called everyone into the office. The young lady was let go. She didn't even get a chance to work. The owner of the bar told them that you cannot hire any more blacks. I don't want no blacks working here. And I'm going to be here to interview the potential people to be hired, and no one else could do an application over the phone. You got to see him first. Then he gave them another order, another commandment, is when blacks come into Red Line, let's keep calling that bar name out there, Red Line. When people come into Red Line, he did not want no blacks. He told them whatever they do, they want them to make the blacks so uncomfortable that and humiliate them so they didn't want them to come back. But make a long story short, the black woman refused to back down. She was a young black lady. She refused to back down. She went
I wouldn't
want
to work there.
No, but she refused to back down. Even though she didn't work there, she went and hired a lawyer and filed a discrimination lawsuit.
Okay.
Just so happened, all the people, some white folks have a heart, I must say that. These white people got on her side, the one that was there working at the place, because they felt so bad for the young lady. Yeah. They went to court and they told the judge and the jury how that the man deliberately didn't hire the girl because he was black. He took them in the office and told them to run blacks out, make them very comfortable. The jury ruled in her favor and found that she was discrimination. She was discriminated against. They ruled unanimously. She won $687,000 from
Red Line. That's great. Now, is that in Chicago? Delta Cougar? I'm looking it up. D.C.
D.C., she said.
D.C. And I got it on my Facebook page, too. Okay.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, now let's go to Ford,
Thanks for
Washington.
Sharing that.
Let's go to Ford.
I love good news. Thank you for some good news.
I
needed
too.
To hear some good news. And that's good news.
Mm-hmm. It's
when
really
they get caught
news.
Up. When they get caught yeah. up in their mess and have to be held accountable, which is a
yeah.
rarity.
Sure is.
And the only way you just about can get it done now is to have a lot of the white brothers and sisters tell
yeah,
on them.
Yeah.
And
they
stand up and.
That is correct.
When people catch them doing wrong. That's
yep.
about the only way you can get that kind of thing happening because they just won't be held accountable in the courts that's full of other whites when you show up.
That's right. You're mm-hmm. exactly right, Aisha. Band
okay.
together. You know what's wrong? Speak up and say something.
Okay, in Fort Washington, if I'm saying it right, Fort Washington, there it was a 2-year-old. Little girl, she was killed by her father, and the reason she was killed by her father because her father did not want he didn't want to pay child support for this child, and he killed her to keep from paying child support. This is so sad. And this is a black guy.
Mm.
Killed his child because he did not want to pay child support.
So he'd rather go to jail than pay child support.
That is correct.
Jail for murder. That's
yeah.
sick-minded bastard.
Yeah, that's sick. That's sick. That's really
mm-hmm.
sick. I have no impetus
mm-hmm.
for him.
Okay, then we have another case. Okay, Richmond, Virginia. We have another case where this young lady was a school teacher. She is a mother. And, okay, wait a minute. Okay, the other case, let me pull my little glasses out. Another case, let me give you this one before I give you this. We got another case of a baby. This one right here. The one I told you about, the 2-year-old little girl. The daddy didn't kill her. Excuse me, y'all. I had to get my little paper up here to close to my eye. The daddy didn't kill her. The daddy girlfriend killed her. The daddy girlfriend killed her because she didn't. The husband was divorcing this girl, and this was his stepdaughter. So in order to get even with the husband for divorcing her, she takes his daughter when the daughter is over visiting and kills his 2-year-old daughter.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, this is in Fort Washington. I had it wrong. I couldn't see. Now, here the other one I'm telling you about. This one right here is in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 2-year-old girl and her mother. Her mother was a school teacher in Richmond, Virginia. And the police got a call of a shooting. The family members heard shooting outside. They rushed outside. There was the sister, the deceased sister ran outside, saw her sister had been shot and killed. Then saw the little girl sitting in her car seat. She had been shot and killed in the car. Both of them have been shot and killed in Richmond, Virginia. So you probably can look this story up. And what happened is she was on her way to take her baby to daycare and go teach at the school. And he did not want to pay child support. So he ready to kill the mother and kill the child in Richmond, Virginia, to keep from paying child support. And this is a black guy. And this is so sad. And this is a black woman who killed the little 2-year-old girl.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused. Is this the same situation?
No.
Are you saying two separate people have children? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, two separate situations. One is in Fort Washington, if I'm saying it right, and then in Fort Washington, this one here, the 2-year-old, the woman killed this girl, the stepmama killed the 2-year-old girl to get back at the husband, because the husband was divorcing her. Then in Richmond, Virginia, the daddy killed his 2-year-old daughter and killed his ex-girlfriend, which is the baby's mother. They left to go get ready to go to work. The lady was on her way to go teach school. He was sitting out there waiting for her because they gave him a paternity test last year, and they told him he had to pay $600 a month. And he killed the baby and killed the baby's mama and got the biggest smile on his face you want to see when the police got the handcuff on him. And he killed him because he did not want to pay child support.
No, he killed him because he's a demon straight loose out of hell.
Well, that's what they said. He did not want to pay child support. And that is so sad to kill his... Imagine your baby sitting up in a car seat and you taking a gun and putting it to a 2-year-old baby head and pulling the trigger. And you putting a gun to the mama. He shot them both in the head and killed them. The daddy. How can you murder your own child? And those are my hot topics. That is just so sad. But the biggest, you know, our major hot topic tonight is getting rid of racism. And this sends a great verdict in Washington, D.C. In D.C. This sends a great verdict to let Redline know, and we all need to keep calling that name. It's a new bar that this white guy opened, and he wanted to be an upscale bar, and the name of it is Redline. And Redline...
Well, I'm looking at the picture of this guy. I don't think he's white. He's something else, but he probably wants to identify with white. With those people that consider themselves as white.
You pulled it up, Rose?
His last name, yeah, I did. I pulled it up. Let me see, I'm sorry, I just stepped away from that page. I think his name is like Domenico or something like that. He's of another ethnicity. So, but anyway.
Well, how are you going to be so racism? And oh my God!
Because he wants to identify as white, so he can do that. But when you do that, and you did
well, then that explains why the whites turned on him. His white employees turned on him because he really isn't white.
Exactly.
I know it's there somewhere.
Exactly. So they don't.
You know, and then
white.
Also,
he
can I give
them a white role? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, in New York City, in our friend's Canty neighborhood, we have where the police killed the young black man that was going down the stairwell. Y'all remember that case?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't see. Well, they have now the police union is turned on him. And left him out to dry by himself.
Because he's a little Chinese man, so they leave him out to dry too.
And mm-hmm. they want to know, and now they exposing the police union, saying that if he had been white, the Chinese boy might have said that if he had been white, they'd have been right there on the situation. But by him not being white.
See, I didn't even know that part, but I know it.
Yeah, his mama said. Boy, mama said if he had been white, they'd have stood there and fought to the end.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad they did that.
Me too. Let them see.
Yes. Stop trying to be on their side. You're on the wrong side. Be on the side of
righteousness. Exactly.
Whatever color you are, be on the side of righteousness, what's right. Sitting up here trying to discriminate against somebody. He probably darker than, I'm looking at this man, he my skin color. Okay, that's just like, what was that other crazy governor in Louisiana? I call
Jindal,
him black too.
Bobby Jindal.
Jindal, darker than I am. That's made to act silly. Ugh.
And Bobby Jindal came in, well, they had a big surplus. Bobby Jindal came in and got rid of all the surplus. Just everything was horrible. And the people got rid of his behind.
Well, you know what? These people, and the sooner black folks and other people, period, just wake up to this big Ponzi scheme. That's what I keep calling all of this. It's a Ponzi scheme. They get in here, they swindle the money, just milk the cities out of money, and then they, oh, well, I'll just resign. I'll just resign. I'll move
yep,
on.
Yeah, that's what they
else.
Do. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do. No hard feelings.
Yeah, let me move
forever.
Out your way now. I've done what
yeah.
I came here to do, steal the money for me and my friends,
yeah,
cronyism
yeah.
and all of this that goes on. So it's a big Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. They'll take the rap, shake hands in secret, behind closed
mm-hmm.
doors, take the extra money. And like you said, be
yes.
placed somewhere else.
And then they'll create another crisis so we forget about that.
Yes.
And we all hop on this other crisis and hype get
yes.
about that. Yes,
another distraction.
And then we long forget about, oh, yeah, that man that poisoned those people. Oh, yeah.
Right.
The governor that did this and that. Oh, yeah. You know.
And see, we need to be on the lookout for that because something is going to happen. To sway our attention, to move our attention away from this right here because it's moving in the direction with them resigning and with people becoming aware of this. They want to come up with something to distract our attention from this because this is blatantly just so wrong. It's inhumane. Water,
absolutely.
Of all things? Water?
Absolutely.
Here in this country? Well, we got our own problems here right in Minnesota, and people are saying, Flint, you better check your local place. I know Mississippi got water problems. I know that.
Their water is
the same color Detroit is, and they doing them to tell you big bold faced lie. We got mercury in our water here.
Well, it's radiation in the water in Texas.
Okay then, everybody got it. Come on with it. But they just snuck it in, but. In Detroit, they were just so bold and ugly with their stuff. I mean, in Flint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've been sliding that through for the longest.
That's true. Down there in Mississippi, y'all water looks kind of off-color.
It's something wrong with it. They lying to you. You better go get you a test kit.
It sure is. Yeah,
and we know ours here in Minnesota. I've never been able to drink the water since I moved to Minnesota. If I drink it, I start getting sick. That told me 27, 28 years ago was something wrong with the water here.
Wow.
And we fought against that with environmental justice advocates, Minnesota, and some other environmental health organization, environmental organizations to do something about some of it, and it's mercury in it right now. And we know what mercury does, and they got their little thing out there saying, do not eat any more than if you are pregnant or lactating. I want to say
I can't really recall, but maybe they don't eat it any more than twice a week, the fish, when you get it out of the Minnesota lakes. And we know there's a lot of Hmong people around here that do a lot of fishing, and that's what they eat. They go and fish for their food. The people of Asian descent, that's what they do here. It's a huge community of Asian people. So they got it, you know, they're telling us, don't eat no more than twice a week, then eat fish, and they give you the ounces. So it's mercury in it here.
And that's deep.
So in Minnesota, it's a mercury problem.
Wow.
Right.
Radiation, lead up north. And there's been an increase in the number of children here in Detroit that have sickle cell.
What?
People are wondering. Yeah. So people are wondering, is there something going on with Detroit's water? Some people are, whereas some people say, well, no, we have the best water. We have the best water. Okay. Okay, so I guess maybe.
Yeah, they got so much.
Now, they'll realize something's wrong with the stirring water. Makes me itch, I know that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It may be clear, and it looks clear, but I don't know.
It's questionable.
It's
questionable water.
Yeah. So any comments on Delta's Hot Topics? Any more comments? Delta, those are some sad stories. You know, all of those shooting of those children. Oh, my God. That just sends me kind of like, ugh, like in a downward spiral. You got a good news story to end up with, to conclude with, rather than trying to say? Give us a good news story before we go into break. What's some good news for us? Delta?
It's hard to find those because they don't sell.
They sure don't do that. We have to make up our own good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I think this is Brother Brown. Is this Brother Brown?
Yes, Billy.
Hey, Brother Brown.
How you doing?
Hey,
doing
Brother
good.
Brown.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey!
I want to share this really quickly before we go to break, and then we'll come back and hear from Brother Brown. I believe I saw on YouTube that Dr. Gilbert Blair passed. And Dr. Gilbert Blair was like a metaphysical teacher. He was, he came from a scientific approach. He used to always have some very, very deep, interesting topics. And I did enjoy listening to a lot of his YouTube videos, his lectures. And so we lost another one, him,
yeah.
Dr. Francis Cresswell thing this year. So we've lost some great minds. People checking out.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely
checking out.
So live your life. Live it to the fullest. Try to make your life the life that you are supposed to live while you're here. Find your purpose and live your purpose and live your life. That's what I can say about that. You just never know. We lost Delta's mother, and I'm so glad that I had an opportunity to meet Delta's mother. She was a beautiful person. And so live your life, enjoy your life. That's what I have to say about that. Let's take a quick break and let's come back and see what Brother Brown has to share with us. Because Brother Brown, I saw that Baltimore lean stuff that those people got going on up there, hooked on that heroin, and they just leaning all in the street. So, oh my God. Mm-mm-mm. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network for podcasts and live program scheduling. Visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network for live programming schedules.
visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right. Brother Brown, what's going on? What's going on up there where you are?
Well, you know, it's in Salisbury, they are doing this massive gentrification project in the city of Salisbury. And for all you researchers out there, all of these major metropolitan areas are using a criminologist theory to utilize funds to revamp cities and areas from an educational and an economic standpoint that's going to push African people out of the loop. They're going to push African people out of these cities into rural areas where they have very, very minimal resources. And the resources that are given to metropolitan areas because they always receive more funding in rural areas. And that's what the game plan is right now. And in all cities, this project is being, this criminologist theory is called the centric zone theory. And if you look it up on the internet and you read about it, you can pull it up on Wikipedia. And it's a criminologist theory that centralizes on working the criminal element from an inner city perspective to eventually push the people out, allow the criminal element to surface in the cities, produce funding, tear down the housing, build mixed income housing, which means that the portion of housing that is allocated for poor people will be eliminated. They won't be able to live in these cities. And they use all kind of tactics such as what's going on in Flint, what's going on in Detroit, what's going on in North Virginia, what's going on in everywhere. And it's no area that's not exempt from doing it. And they're using massive amounts of heroin. You can hardly buy crack cocaine on the street anymore. And when they dump crack cocaine on the streets of Black America, it was for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, now they have taken it away. And they have this high grade form of heroin that's primarily coming from Mexico. Yeah. And it's coming in here every day.
Wow.
Every day it's coming. And it's so potent. You know, that people have so many ways to use it now. Years ago, it was only snorting it and shooting. Now they have found ways to smoke it. They have found ways to mass produce it into a pill. I'm not talking about OxyContin purpose. They have found ways to put heroin into a pill and drop it. And our people are becoming more and more addicted to it. I mean, young people. Now, it's affecting the white community also, because you hear these little stories on HBO and places like that about, you know, the heroin addiction of white people. But it's devastating our people in by the hundreds. You know, I told you about Baltimore. When you was in Baltimore, I know you said that you saw North Avenue. Well, if you go downtown Baltimore, the Lexington Market, that is junky heaven. That's right in the heart of downtown Baltimore on Utah Street. And there's so many heroin addicts down there. It's just like they have created their own little city right in the heart of downtown Baltimore. And this is 7 days a week. And you can tell what you said in Baltimore lean. You can tell they dope things because every corner they're leaning. And it's pathetic. I mean, young ones, old ones, middle-aged ones, women, men. I mean, it's just like a convention every day. But the gentrification problem is something that we need to take a look at, because we're not buying property to stop. You know, I hear you say that we should live our life to the fullest. But we have people like Dr. Wilson, who dedicated, I mean, her whole life outside of her practice was dedicated to fighting white supremacy and racism as a global system of oppression. You got people like Dr. Neely Fuller, all his life fighting. You had people like, these people sacrificed their lives. And the sad thing is that who's going to take up the torch? Who's willing to sacrifice their life for this? Who's willing to do the research? Who's willing to take hours and hours and hours of their time to do the studying needed to teach our people? You know, it's sad. It's really sad, because when these brilliant minds leave, what do we have left? We got people like Tariq Nasheed, we got people like Umar Johnson, we got people like Ray Hagen. These are a political saboteurs who's coming on the scene, and their whole projection is money. Money, 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 money. But what are they getting done? You know, you never hear Dr. Wilson in all of her lectures and all of her endeavors to teach our people. You never hear her mention money. You never hear Dr. Dan mention money. You never hear Dr. Clark mention money. You know, Michael Garvey died poor. He didn't have a damn dime in his pocket. You never hear these people who dedicate their lives to the struggle. I mean, when I say dedicate, I mean they live it every day, 24/7. And that's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice way beyond compassion. And the problem is, do we have anybody left that's going to willing to sacrifice their life to teach our people in hopes that our people will learn? And that's a sad thing. You know, I ran across a book the other day, and I bought the book, and it's called, I put it up on my Facebook page, How to Make a Negro a Christian. And this was a book that was written in the embryonic stages of slavery in America. And it was written by a Christian pastor, a white Christian pastor. He wrote this book as a form of controlling the massive population of Negroes. See, Virginia had the largest population of slaves at one time, and there were more slaves than white folks. And they came up with these laws following Denmark Vesey and Nat Turner, that they had to find a way to control them. And this was the way in 1700 that they had to control us, African people. And it worked very good. Because unfortunately, we are carrying on the mentality that was taught to us by our slave men. And the sad thing is that with all the information, with all the research, with all the knowledge that has been passed on to us to liberate us from some of the clutches of the mental enslavement of our people, you know, it is hard. And then they come with this drug addiction. You know, that we have to continuously fight year after year for generation after generation. And, you know, it's sad, because when these brilliant minds are gone, and that's one thing that really, really puzzles my mind on a daily basis, who is going to lead us? The people that have been laid, that have allegedly been picked to lead us, are not leaders. They are people who have personal gain. And it's not about saying, well, you know, everything you do got to be for money, everything. You know, some things, you know, like Dr. Wilson had a, medical practice. She couldn't. She had to make a living. Let's deal with that. People have to live. They have to have housing. They have to have resources. You know, and she had to make a living. But outside of that, she dedicated her life to this problem. And you know, I just feel like we should be more adamant about looking at the blueprint that has been laid for us, for the people that have made the transition, who continuously gave us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to let us see which way to go. The problem is, are we willing to sacrifice and go that way? I'm finished.
So, you're trying to ask the question, who's going to lead? Who's going to continue to carry the torch?
Right. Who's willing to sacrifice and learn to be adamant about carrying that torch?
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Dr. Frances Chris Wilson stated in one of her lectures. She was trying to build an army of soldiers for justice. And I think that's something that we as Black people need to start doing more of, like mentoring younger children to lead them in the right direction, to bring them up in certain fields so that I guess they can continue to struggle on for us or continue fighting in different areas, like groom children to, be politicians that will actually represent our real interests, or teach some children about policy making, policy administration, or teach children about environmental justice.
Yeah.
Groom some children to be civil rights lawyers or human rights lawyers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing that I see the other groups do. They will groom these children. They'll
yeah,
put them
you really
to
have to start early.
Specialize in certain areas.
Well, one thing I want to add, and I'm not trying to negate anything, we have to put something that I looked at on the video, and I forget who the teacher was. He said something that was very, very valid. You know, and it was about the political system. And one thing he said that I really had to delve into. And I asked something about, and he said it very, very profound. We cannot win with that. That is out of dust. He said we can't win with a system that was created by someone else for their game. Because we can't play that system. As much as we want to play it, regardless of whether it's Democrat or Republican, we don't own that system. And it is essential that we understand. And what did our ancestors leave us with? You know, we have to go back to the drawing board and realize that the ancestors that fought religiously against our enslavement in Africa, and there were hundreds of them that were not even recorded. Everybody did not lay down and say, you know what, I can't win this war. A lot of them fought to the death to not be enslaved.
Well, my question is this. So, you know, and I agree with you on, you know, this is, it's a system that we cannot, it doesn't seem like we can overthrow this whole system. Okay. So, but what do we do? So, because you're always, it's just like with religion, you're always going to have people that are going to continue to go to church no matter what. You're always going to have some people that are going to vote no matter what. No matter how many times they bring up this new rule and this, that, and this electoral count and this and George Bush win and you know darn well he wasn't supposed to win and then we have another election and then, I was just listening to Mark Rubio And he said, this is the most important election. Well, hell, y'all said that last year. You said it presidential election. You said it in 2008. You said it before that. You said it before that. You know, it's always the most important election. So everybody get out and vote. So, I mean, it's like, what do you do? Because people are still going to vote, even though it doesn't seem like that gets us anywhere. I mean, we even get to the point now where we say, well, I just vote for the lesser of two evils.
Right.
So, I mean, why are we even doing that? Or should we stop doing that? Or just what we have to do? Just vote for the lesser of two evils. So, I mean, you know, how do you overcome that?
We have to come up with, we have to devise a plan. We have to sit down with like minds at a table that's not a book, not on the radio, not over the internet, no conference call, none of that. Sit down at a table with people who are like minded and come up with a plan. If you fail the plan, you plan to fail. We have never been able to come up with a divisive plan to even go to war with our enemy. And at this stage of the game, you know, we have so many obstacles that they have put in our midst, you know, and they have actually made it so difficult for us to even come up with a game plan. But we can't give up. You know, we can't give up, because if you look at Duty Bookman and all of these people who had no access to the knowledge that we have access to today, even though they were eventually corralled back into a system of oppression, they did fight and gain their independence. And if we look at those examples, how they had to fight and how they had to sacrifice, and we are willing to do that, we can make gains and inroads, because we have access to more knowledge and more elements now. We just don't have a plan. And for people who were enslaved to come up with a plan over 300 years ago, and here we are with access to intelligence or wealth of knowledge, it's absurd that we don't have a plan. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, the vote, the political machine, the political arena, you know, we have to sit down and say, wait a minute, what are we going to do? We got a whole, you know, like you talk about Detroit, we got a whole bunch of abandoned houses. How do we keep them from being abandoned? If we, you know, I'm just using this as an example. If we pool our resources together and buy the property, then they can't use eminent domain to take it from us. You know, we have to sit down and strategize. You can't win a war with emotion, and that's what has been one of the things that have been utilized by these provocateurs over the years, is that they build up our people's emotion. We're going to have a march. We're going to have this. And all of these goddamn marches, excuse my language, have produced not a damn thing. And people ask me, are you going to the hell? No, excuse my language. No, for what? Well, I'm not in a damn army. Let's put a pin in stuff. You know, they had that commemorative march of Dr. King a couple of years back about when he, I thought it was the March on Washington. And all them people go to D.C. and march on Banana Street. What did they produce? They came up with the Second Million Man March. What did they produce? Nothing. It still was not a plan. After the First Million Man March, there was no plan. All of the money that was collected. And I had friends of mine that went because I didn't participate. And they said that they were taking up these 50-gallon trash,
these $50 bags full of money. I mean, bags packed with money, $100 bills, $50 bills. People just putting money. And nothing came back. Dr. John Henry Clark, in one of his last speeches, he talked about that. He talked about it religiously. He said it produced nothing. He said, if we go and have another one, he said you're going to get the same result. He said, if you do something more than one time and get the same result over and over again, you know, it's called idiocy. You know, and we just have to sit down, and even if we have to start small, even if we have to start in pocket, that means five or six people put together a community plan and put it to action. But utilize what we do have as our access, our spiritual power through our ancestors. That is the only thing that we're going to do to change this stuff for. We have tried every other means to change our situation but that. On a collective basis, I mean. If the people of Haiti used it 300 or 400 years ago and it worked for them, why do we think it will not work for us?
I don't know, Brother Brown. You know, people just stuck in their own little ways and their own little worlds.
You know, we have to learn how to accept them for who they are, but we have to move on. We have to do something progressive. Because guess what?
Yep.
It's not gonna get any better. And as time go on, you know, the black male, if nobody else, will become extinct. There will be no more black male. We'll have black female, but we won't have any black male.
How is that?
Well, if you're not here, you can't belong.
If what?
If the black male is not here to reproduce, that means that it'll be just like what Egypt is today. Egypt is one of the most miscegenated countries on the face of this planet by the Arab. He miscegenated our Nubian people so much that he completely changed the whole skin color of the country. And that's a living example. So if this happens to us in America, in the centuries to come, if the world is still here, we won't exist.
I don't understand how we won't have any men, though.
They won't even look like us. They'll be miscegenated, just like the Egyptians and these light-skinned people.
But that's the difference, though. I mean, you're saying color-wise, and then
right.
You're saying men, you know, as in gender. So I'm just trying to figure out, I don't see how we will not have any men. I mean, if people still giving birth,
they're not going to have any men. They won't look like African men.
Okay, now I can see that, but I mean, I thought you were saying that you don't have any men.
No, there'll be some males, but they won't.
Like
they
men
won't.
Are going to stop being born.
No, there won't be no African men.
Okay. I was like, say, what now? No, you're not talking about no men.
But the continent is full of African men.
Hell, it's a bunch of African men right here in Detroit. I see them all day
long. Exactly.
I see a lot of men. That's why when I hear people say that it's a male shortage, all I can say is you just need to get out, look around a little bit more, and you'll see plenty of them. I see plenty of men.
I do too.
I see just as many men as women.
I do too.
Aja, we were talking about this the other day when people were saying statistics, so-called, say that there are not a lot of black men in college. When I was enrolled at the University of Memphis, when I went to the library at nighttime, that's when I saw a lot of men in abundance.
because those brothers were working in the daytime and they were taking those classes at night.
Right.
So you're trying to sit here and say there are not a lot of black men enrolled in college. Yes, they are. They're enrolled in night classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I
that's why you can't always pay attention to those statistics.
Yeah, but I saw plenty of them during the daytime,
young
men.
Yeah,
plenty
of
them. So I never have really, well, no, I'm not going to say never, but I stopped believing in that male shortage stuff. Mm-mm. No, I think there's plenty of men out here. Just keep looking around. Just keep looking around. You'll see them. Plenty of them. Oz, you have a mind, body, and spirit for us, and then I think Delta may be back for with us for her letter. Let me try to find her letter. You have a what is it? Love the body.
Yes. Let's see. Let's see what I have here. All right, here is a here's a nice recipe. It's really quick. It's good for inflammation. It's called golden milk. Inflammation, as many of us know, is the underlying cause of a lot of different types of diseases. It starts with inflammation. You know, it just blooms into something else like heart disease and Alzheimer's and chronic pain, but it starts with inflammation. So this is a really good, quick, tasty recipe to fight that. It's called golden milk. So what you use is any kind of milk. I would suggest coconut milk or almond milk. I don't do the soy. Don't do the soy. But if you like regular milk, cow's milk, that's cool too. But I use coconut milk and sometimes I use almond milk. All right, so this is a recipe. 2 cups of the milk of your choice. You can also use goat milk. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Remember I told you about the helpful benefits of vanilla. And also I said that vanilla was aphrodisiac. You know, they would tell the ladies to make some, you know, like cinnamon cookies, you know, something about that cinnamon that, you know, kind of turns men on. It's that cinnamon and that vanilla. Okay, so 1 pinch of cinnamon, okay, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of dried ginger, or a half slice of fresh ginger, and you're going to need turmeric. Now, this is the powerful ingredient for this whole thing. About 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric and 1 sprinkle of black pepper. Remember that turmeric is difficult to be absorbed in the body, although it has many benefits. The pepper is the one that increases the absorption rate of the turmeric by 2,000%. So the pepper is really, really critical. If you're going to use turmeric, you got to use this little black pepper. There's a paste for it that I can share with you. I'll put that on the Facebook. Okay. On the Lotus Facebook. So 1 teaspoon of coconut oil is optional. There are many benefits of coconut oil, and we'll share that with you. I put the coconut oil in mine just to see if it was good, and it was. And if you like honey or some other type of natural sweetener like stevia, you can add that. So you put all this in the small pot, and you heat it up, and don't let it boil, but just before boiling. And you take it off the heat, let it cool down a little bit, and of course you add your oil after you've warmed it up. So don't put your oil in it originally. So after you let it warm up, and if you want to use the coconut oil for extra health benefits, you can do that. And it really, really is delicious. It has a golden color, because of the turmeric. And you will absolutely love it. You could have it first thing in the morning in lieu of coffee, or you can have it before you go to bed and to help you have a good night's rest. But it's tasty and it's extra powerful. And it's a good way to take care of your body, love your body, do some preventive maintenance. Don't wait until your body starts to shut down. Do some preventive maintenance to keep it running well, the same way you would do your nice car, your vehicle. Yeah.
All right. Well, love the body.
Love the body. I will put these on the Lotus Place Radio Facebook, because I know everybody wasn't scribbling, writing down this recipe that is so good. So I will put it on the Facebook.
Yes. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Delta Cougar's letter. She will answer your questions to your letters, shall I say. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back here at the Lotus Place. You can call in at the last hour of the show, the last 30 minutes of the show, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. And press pound. And then press star 61 if you would like to share a comment. Delta, you
Black Rose. Black Rose, yes. Can I add this one thing that I forgot to mention from the golden milk recipe? The coconut oil, the oil supplies your body with the healthy fats, and it increases the turmeric absorption, and it's good for joint lubrication and promotes your cellular function. So that's a really powerful ingredient to add to the golden milk.
Golden milk, okay.
Love it.
Let me just ask this quick question before we go into our letter, because I know Delta loves to vote. Delta? I don't know what's going on with Delta. Delta, you there with us? I want to ask you about Hillary Clinton.
Maybe she got
Are you on mute? Okay. I don't know. Well, I guess I'll just hold her letter. Brother Brown and Mother Hattie, are you voting for Hillary Clinton?
You know, I probably will.
So you're a cast for
But for me, I'm not. For me, the voting at that level, you know, is just hype because we don't really elect a president, and so I'm more of a local. I believe we can do something locally more than anything. We really can't do anything with that presidential piece. That's not even in our vote. It's just, you know, I don't even know why they do it. I don't even know why they do a popular vote. It's just hype. It's just because most people just don't understand it, I guess, so they probably wouldn't bother.
Why the folks in Iowa get to sway which way we're gonna go? That's ridiculous. That's the craziest crap I ever heard of.
Oh, when the folks in Iowa
What are they going to do? You know, like everything hinges on them. That's crazy.
Well, I don't think it does hinge on them.
It does a lot of hinge on them because, you know, toward the end, they always base, it's electoral votes. It's not all just popular. It's not all just popular. It's electoral votes. That's all it is,
electoral votes. Popular vote doesn't do anything.
Well, they give us the impression that it does.
That's what I just said. It doesn't, though. Don't even add in the mix.
But I'm saying that there are a lot of sway as to where things are going has always been placed on the state of Iowa.
Well, I don't know about that now. It's more like towards when it's time to count the vote.
That's what I'm saying.
It's Ohio. Not Iowa. It's Ohio. It's California. And
Texas.
Texas. But it's primarily, in Pennsylvania. Now, beginning what you're speaking of, Iowa normally has the primary. So it's Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa comes in importance in the beginning. With the primaries and all.
Yeah.
But towards the end.
Yeah.
So in other words, Iowa is just another hype trick.
Yes.
Because some of those presidents did not win the Iowa caucus, but they were president. So.
I didn't say I believe in it, but it is a big game of theirs. They put
exactly.
a lot of attention on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Every time you turn on the TV, you see Trump, 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 Trump. And I don't even watch TV, but since I've been in the hotel over the past month, the TV is right here in the room, and then I end up turning on the news because I kind of have to keep up with a little bit of the local news here. And so when I start flipping through the channel, it's all Trump, 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 Trump. Everything is Trump. So to me, that's just—it's just all media hype. It's a bunch of games, and
it really is. It's entertainment. It's mind control. You know, you constantly put it out there, put it out there, put it out there. Pretty soon, some of the stuff he's gonna say is gonna sound funny, humorous. Well, you know, he's got a point on that. You know, like Kanye West. I'm gonna vote for this guy because I love his arrogance. So you vote for somebody because they're arrogant?
I just want to know, what do you all think about Donna Brazile?
Donna Brazile. Well, I think that Donna Brazile, I think she's doing her job. I think that. That's all I can really say.
She's indescribable, huh?
Yeah, you know, she's Donna Brazile.
She's this way, and then she's that way.
Okay.
You think that she's this way, and then she's like, oh, she's that way. I don't try to keep up with her.
What do you think?
She goes the way the wind blows.
Thank you.
Okay.
She's like Hillary. If people are against this, then Hillary will stand up and say she's against this, even though she voted for it 2 years ago. But now she'll be against this since everybody's speaking out about it.
Exactly.
I think of Donna Brazile like Hillary. I mean, Donna Brazile, she's a political commentator, and that's what she does.
Yeah. She's doing her job. Yeah, she's doing what she's hired to do.
And so, did anybody see the Flint, Inquisition? That's not what it's called. On the water at all? Was it on C-SPAN? I missed it. Any reports on that? What happened?
It's on YouTube. Yeah, you can pull it up on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like 6 hours long. I'm going to try to watch some of it before I retire for bed.
What is that?
The Flint water crisis hearings.
Oh. The hearings, the congressional hearings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the people did, they brought in their bottles of water. Elijah Cummings was there. He spoke. Let's see, I believe John Conyers sent out the letter, or sent out a letter in regards to the hearing. But see, all of this stuff is a day, what is it, a day late and a dollar short. I mean, the people sick now, the damage has been done. So now you want to stand and pound your fists and stomp your feet about what was done.
And grandstand.
Yeah. I mean, please. They knew when GM stopped using that water in Flint because the water was eroding the car park, you knew then. And that was over a year ago. So these people knew. They knew about this water. But they didn't care because there was a bunch of poor black and white and brown people. And so all they cared about was let the little niggas and let them all, the whoever, whatever, let them all just get sick and then we'll apologize later. Just like Clinton. Let's lock up all of these people. And then in 2015, we'll apologize.
Right.
But let me say something on that one.
Okay.
Do you all remember that black people were the ones that went there and asked them to do something about that? About all the gangs in the neighborhood, about all the crime in the black community?
Yeah.
Black people initiate that. It's kind of like that concept when we have a hell in our houses and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and you had audacity to call 911 for the police to come and help you. I know it's hard sometimes, but it was that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I put it like this. And I live in one of the worst neighborhoods in Norfolk, Virginia. I put it like this. Anytime your children cannot walk down the street for somebody shooting, and children are getting killed because of this, regardless of what the color of skin is or the culture, then I'm in agreement with getting them out of the way. It makes no sense that black children in our own community cannot play outside of their door without somebody coming through with an Uzi or 9mm shooting our children.
I agree with you, Brother Brown, totally 100%, but that's why I just want us to say and to not forget that it wasn't just, quote, the Clintons. It was us asking that we want our children to be safe.
Right.
And that was the aftermath. That was the consequences of it. We didn't say how. We just put it in their hands.
Well, the thing about it is
therein lies the problem right there.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is that in the 1960s, when heroin was rampant and was coming from overseas, we had drugs in our community, but the violence was never there to the degree that it was with crack cocaine.
That's right.
The violence was not in our community. When the violence came, when you could go into a community and see three or four guys sitting in a kitchen chair selling dope so fast and they would block traffic on the street, and little kids that was out there in the street could not even was scared to go to school and get on the school bus. No, there's no sense in that behavior. No, I don't agree with that. Because anytime I'm living in a neighborhood, you understand me, regardless of what they're selling in there, my children are going to be safe. And I'm safe because the police can't make them safe. I can make them safe.
Well, that's something that people should, I think that it would have been good for people to have adopted that philosophy where we are going to take back the community. We're going to control this community and we're going to fight crime in our own community without people having to bring in enact different types of laws. That's just like you hear some people, some black people now say, don't bring
the police in our business. Don't bring the judges in our business. You pay me the child support that you know you're supposed to pay, and I won't have to put you on child support and all of this kind of business. So maybe we should really look more into our own solutions. Then we won't have people coming in and enforcing these different laws that consequently cause so much harm, like the three strikes law. Because, I mean, you're exactly right, Mother Hattie. Black people were saying, do something about this music. Do something about this crime, okay? Do something about the music, do something about the music. So now you have people that can be locked up because of the lyrics that they wrote. So, I mean, you know, that doesn't make any sense either, though. So what do we do?
Well, I was more concerned with what she said about the criminal element being in our community, and we giving it to the police. Well, we had started a vigilante system and went out and took care of it ourselves. Then the first thing people would say, well, you know, why are y'all doing that? Because somebody's son or somebody's cousin or boo-boo or somebody who lived down the street that was killing somebody would definitely have been a victim of the vigilante system. But like I said, anytime we have our own community where our children cannot even go outside and play, we have to retrain and retrain the people that's in our community. See, a lot of these young boys came up, you understand me, and didn't have any guidance. And I understand that because I worked with gangs. I understood the mentality. I've been working with them for 20 years. You know, but the thing about it is that when it got out of hand way back 45 years ago, nobody in the black community other than a few of us over here tried to deal with it. It got out of hand. And it got out of hand because you couldn't tell people how to raise their children. That's where it came from. When these young mothers had these boys, and these young mothers had these boys, and you try to say, well, you know, I want to, you know, correct your son. Don't say nothing to my son. You leave my son alone. Okay, so we left him alone, and this was the result. You didn't want nobody to help you raise the boy. There was no man to help structure his life.
Mm-hmm.
There was no man. I tried many times to deal with my own family members who ended up in gangs. And one of them is incarcerated right now. He's been going in and out of jail for the last 15 years. But his mother never wanted me to intervene, leave him alone. I left him alone. He's incarcerated right now.
So what does she think now?
Well, there's nothing she can't think because she got to write him a letter. And if he get out, he's never worked nowhere. When he get out, he's going to do the same thing because he doesn't know anything else. I had a friend of mine, that was a professional bank robber. He did 30 years straight. 30 years. In a penal system. He got locked up in 1985. He got out in 2015. He got out last year, just before the end of the year. He robbed 5 banks. He's 65 years old. He will be incarcerated for the remainder of his life. He doesn't know anything else. As a young boy, he started going to prison, and that was his thing. He was a stick-up man. After doing 30 years, his mind was so messed up, he thought he had the ultimate plan of leaving these banks. And he
robbed. You know what? Let me interrupt you there right there, Brother Brown. We have ideas, and we can look at the consequence, you know, of certain things that have happened, and then we can blame ourselves, because we do this and we do that and we kill each other and all that. But until we refocus where we're spending our energy, we will continue to go in this vicious circle that we're going in because we're spending our energy in the wrong direction. It's all about energy. It's all about where we're spending and our energy. We spend a lot of our energy on the enemy. A lot of our energy we give to the enemy instead of concentrating on ourselves, on who we are, and not just as African people, you know, roots that way, but I mean like roots, like inside, like as a human being, you know, what are we made of? What are we capable of? You know, what is this melanin all about? What are the powers that we have if we just stop focusing so much on the obstacles, on the outside, you know?
And the negative.
Yes, because it, the more we focus on it, the more it grows and the more power it has. Because our energy is so much power. It's so much power.
That is a beautiful lesson, but you have trying to teach that to people who have not grasped that concept. I grasp.
Then you don't, but you don't keep the lips closed though. You don't say, "Oh, they won't grasp it." You touch this one and you touch that one and you touch this one.
Wait a minute, I do that every day.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what we need to do.
I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is that on a whole basis, when you do that, and I worked with kids years ago, I was living in Norfolk. I coached basketball in the projects, the roughest area in the city. And I took these little kids and I gave them an outlet. Now out of the 10 or 12 kids, that came up under me on the two was incarcerated.
I know. You told us the story. But you had some good ones that came out, though, didn't you? You had some good ones that came out.
I'm trying to
say who you can.
I'm trying to get to a point because of what you said. Now, the thing about it is that I put a lot of positive energy into these young people. Now, the thing about it, it nurtured the spirit of 10 of them. Two of them had to go back to negative environment. And when they went back into those negative environments, there was negative energies in those environments that I could not conquer.
You can't conquer all. You can't conquer all. But you're focusing on the two that you missed out. What about the 10?
What I'm saying is that I understand that concept. And I totally agree with you. I'm not in disagreement with you. No, I'm not in no disagreement. I'm saying that's what we have to do. But I'm just saying we have to continue to do it.
Your conference recording has stopped.
And so go ahead. We just have a few more minutes left. Let's go ahead on and wrap up the comments on this topic.
Okay.
And so, go ahead. The two of you were in a conversation about sharing the energy, positive energy.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. The operator came and said the conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I just got quiet. But my in summary for me, I'm just coming to the realization of the power of your energy. Yes, that mm-hmm. we haven't tapped into.
Now this is what I'd like to say to add to this conversation. What I find is that quite often what we do, we harp on
this, that. Black people don't do this, we don't that, we this, we that, we hadn't done this, we this, and black folks this. And Mother Hattie has helped me with this, and also other people. What's the solution? How do we stop it? How do we change? What are we going to do? Because we already know the problem. Mm-hmm. We already know all of this. So, again, what do we do in order to change? And I think, like, what you're saying, Aja, is, you know, redirect the energy, like, refocus.
Yeah, study oneself. We need to study ourselves. Learn how to do, not just say it, you know, we're going to redirect your energy. You know, how do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do that?
How does one go about using their thoughts more creatively towards their advantage? That doesn't mean that we have to do without. What's wrong with being prosperous? You know? So I believe that we need to go start at the root. And not just African roots. I mean the root, like the energy roots. Your kundalini. Know your body. Emotions. Know your emotions. You cannot avoid your emotions. Ride through your emotions. Let them go through. Deal with that. And then move on. People don't realize how much emotions have a play in our everyday life. You cannot hide your emotions. But you have to learn how to deal with them.
Yeah.
And not let them control you.
And let's just be more positive in our thoughts and actions and conversations. I get so tired of hearing about who shot who. Who got shot in the head? What child got raped and shot? I'm so sick of hearing of this. I can't take that going into my system anymore.
I can't either.
It's fighting
the vibrational level that I'm trying to get to.
It is.
You know,
I can't take it. I've had enough. I mean, I'm just over it. I'm over it. Like I always say, I'm over it because I mean, it's just the same thing. Brother Brown said it 2 years ago. We keep on talking about who got shot. It's going to be another person got shot in a couple of days. You're still not going to do anything to make up a hashtag. Okay, so what else is there?
Right.
So, you know, let's be positive. Let's move towards some solutions. Like Mother Hattie always says, what is the next action that we're going to take? Because people are going to keep on doing what they're doing because they're on their plan. What's your plan?
Exactly.
What's your plan? What's your game changer? Once again, what's the game changer? What are you going to do to change your life and make it better for you?
Yeah.
Which in turn will make life better for others. Because if you walk around here grumping, mad, negative, killing folks or want to kill people with your attitude and all of that crap, you know, you're not making the world a better place. So,
waiting on a leader. Waiting on a leader. The leaders who came, they weren't sitting around saying, I wonder when the leader gonna come. They just started doing what they do.
Yeah.
There's a leader in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that is.
You gotta find your passion and work the plan. Like Brother Brown said, get around some people that are energized with the same kind of passion you are on an issue and work one issue at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do, not be all over the place. You know, I was just all over the place. At one time. I still am kind of all over the place, and I'm trying to narrow that down. I can't be all over the place.
Exactly.
Find your passion. I think that's a great note for us to end on. Find your passion. We ought to do a show on that. Find your passion.
And work a plan.
And work the plan. There you go. All right. On that note, I like that. See, I like that ending on something positive and an
action. Right.
That's the
right
way tonight.
Find yes
your passion and come back and tell us at the Lotus Place. What's your passion?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Aja, Mother Hattie.
You're welcome.
Brother Brown, Delta, I don't know what happened to Delta. I guess those grandchildren wore her out. But she is dealing with the death in the family. So, you know, we know
that's that
right. There's some things going on. So, we send out our condolences to her and everyone else that have lost a loved one. I know it's a hard situation. So, we want to send out strength to you, send out strength to the people in Flint and all over this world that are suffering.
Yes.
Thank you, peace, good night, and namaste.
I'm in the back.